Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Hello and a very warm welcome to ACB Radio's Main Menu, heard weekly on ACB Radio Mainstream. Main Menu is a regular look at technology from a blindness perspective, and Main Menu is made available on request to radio reading information services around the world. On the programme this week, we focus on an area of particular interest to our partially sighted listeners. We devote the entire programme to an extended interview with Simon Phillips, the chair of the Bioptic Driving Network. I'm joined today on Main Menu by Simon Phillips of the Bioptic Driving Network. And before we begin talking about the Bioptic Driving Network, let's just talk about you a bit, Simon. Have you been involved with assistive technology much in your career?
Not really, no. I first found out about bioptics when I was living in the United States, and ever since then, it's this low vision aid has changed my life.
Okay, so your background is we'll get on to talking about bioptics shortly and what it is and how it works, and then obviously talk about the organization that you're involved with. But let's just talk about you initially. Assistive technology, it's not been your forte. What's your background then, Simon?
My background is professionally is human resource management. I've got a business, a couple of businesses that are related to that, and I specialize in employment law, labor law. So it's it's by accident really that I found out about this particular aspect of assistive technology.
Are you yourself partially sighted, Simon? So you would have a particular interest in the bioptic system?
Yes, I am. I have ocular albinism, and so I have reduced visual acuity.
Right, because of course, as we know, the area of visual impairment isn't one that's necessarily black and white, to coin a phrase. That there is certainly a continuum of people from having just some very slight sight loss to those of us that have very little vision indeed. So, where would you place yourself on that continuum?
I have a low vision condition, but it doesn't really affect me radically. I mean, I guess I'm a fighter, really. All the time in my life when I was told as a kid that I can't do this and I shouldn't do that, my attitude and my parents' attitudes was, well, yeah, give it a go. Let's find out what you can do and what you can't do. And let's see if we can adapt situations to help you get over the difficulties that I have. I'm 38 years old now, and really I've reached a point in my life where I've achieved everything I could want to. I mean, I've studied for a bachelor's and a master's degree. I have all the professional qualifications relating to my work. There's no obstacle I haven't overcome in my life by one means or another. The computer screen that I'm looking at the moment is a large flat screen display, which I've positioned at a comfortable distance from my eyes, but that's an example of a minor modification in my life that means that really just about every problem I can overcome, except in the United Kingdom for the question of driving.
Yes, and we'll get to that shortly. Driving obviously being one of the things that you were told when you were younger that it would be something that you wouldn't be able to do. So your eye condition is that being static throughout your life, or have you experienced any deterioration?
Yeah, my vision vision has always been static throughout my life, and the prognosis is, you know, that's not really likely to change. That's a feature of ocular albinism, or ocular cutaneous albinism, as it's correctly called. I have another sort of complication, which is typical of people with albinism, and that's nystagmus. But these are stable conditions, so it's not likely to deteriorate any more than anybody else's vision would.
You know, I want to clarify how, and when we get to talking about bioptics, about how, you know, someone in your situation currently experiences the world compared with using the bioptics. So, do you have 180 degree vision? Is it your vision continuous throughout? As I know, certainly with my eye condition, I have Leber's congenital amaurosis, I think it is, and my vision is fairly fragmented, particularly my central vision. Do you have 180 degree vision?
Yeah, every other aspect of my vision is actually perfect. My visual fields, you know, I had a thorough eye examination just earlier this year, about February, March, I think it was. Every other aspect of my vision is perfect, and my visual fields are only limited by my eyelashes.
Okay. You mentioned earlier that you traveled to the States, and that was really the first point at which you heard about bioptics.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, several years ago, I was traveling to the United States on business. I then became based in the States. When I was living there, I needed a new pair of glasses, so I just went to see a local optometrist for a routine eye examination. And I was told, you know, about bioptics. And I'd never heard of a bioptic before or seen one from my life in the United Kingdom. And I thought this was amazing, because what I was told is that potentially, subject to some driver training, I may be able to drive with a bioptic. So it really was an amazing sort of discovery for me.
Okay, so can you talk us through that in a little bit more detail? You went to renew a spectacles in the US, and you were told what exactly? How was bioptics described and defined to you?
Well, I was told that a bioptic is a low vision aid that can help people with visual acuity, reduced visual acuity. It's a small miniaturized telescope that's often mounted to the carrier lens of somebody's spectacles, generally in the upper portion of the lens. You know, when driving, I was told that I could potentially use this to enable me to see things like traffic lights or road signs, etc., to compensate for my reduced visual acuity. What you do, though, is not look through the bioptic itself all the time when driving, but rather use it only intermittently when you want to see what is that road sign up ahead or what is that traffic light up ahead. So this is how it was described to me when I was first told about it, and I went from there.
Okay, so what we're essentially talking about here are glasses. So you would have your regular prescription lens in your glasses, and then in addition to that, then there would be an additional low vision aid, like a telescope, as you described it, or a monocular, mounted in the upper portion of the lens on each lens, or just one lens, and then to use the more magnified portion of the device, then you would then look up, you would move the eye to focus through the monocular. Am I getting this right? Feel free to elaborate.
Yeah, that's right, Dave. That's the gist of it. It's actually for driving purposes only usually fitted to one of the carrier lenses, and rather than moving the eye, as you said, what you do is move your head. So you tilt your head slightly forwards to look through the bioptic in the upper part of your carrier lens, to look at the road sign. When you finish looking at the road sign, you move your head back to the level position where you're looking straight through the central position of the lens in your glasses. But yeah, that's the gist of it. You're only using the bioptic for driving for a very limited time, just to overcome that visual acuity problem. Now, for other applications, because, you know, it's worth mentioning that bioptics can be used for a whole variety of tasks, from grocery shopping to reading the newspaper to walking the dog. For other applications, you know, there are different types of bioptic, and often those may be fitted binocularly, that is to say, one in each carrier lens of your normal spectacles.
Driving, obviously, is the one that you have particular interest in. Clearly, when you're driving, you're in a position of responsibility and you're in a situation where potentially you could do harm to others or others could do harm to you. Does using a bioptic reduce a driver's response times, and how does that fit into the whole equation? How does that? I'm just trying to imagine somebody driving a car, and then you tell me how it works, Simon.
Well, in answer to your question, reduced response times, inevitably, I guess you're probably right, although I'm not a research scientist. There's a Dr. Ellie Pelley at Harvard University who's received a large grant from the U.S. Department of Health, the NIH, to research all of these kinds of questions at this very time, and he's doing so on and off the road in the U.S. and in Europe. But, I mean, to give you the explanation as simply as I understand it, the response time is only very, very slightly reduced, because we're talking about a sort of nanosecond to move your head from a slightly tilted position where you're looking through the bioptic at that road sign, or at that street light or whatever it may be, then back to the level position where your eyes are looking straight through the carrier lens. So it's a tiny nanosecond, if that, of a reduced response time, which, you know, from my reading of all the research that's been undertaken over the last 50 years in the United States and elsewhere, that really has no impact on somebody's safe ability to drive. We could talk about other factors which are significantly more important concerning one's ability to drive safely. For example, if one had a severely reduced visual field, you know, that could be an issue. If we talk about the age group of 17 to say 21 year old males, everybody knows that category of drivers is much more at risk statistically. Accident statistics show that category is much more likely to be involved in an accident. And there are other categories too. So the slightly reduced response time, you know, is really not an issue. I could go on to describe to you an issue that some people do have with a bioptic, if you'd like me to.
Yes, by all means, please do.
Well, some people question the impact of the ring scotoma around the bioptic. The bioptic is, as I said, a miniaturized telescope fitted normally to the upper part of one's carrier lens in one's spectacles. Inevitably, the lens inside the miniature telescope, the bioptic, has to be held in place by something, the casing. Now, that therefore causes a ring scotoma, a ring blind spot, and it's argued that reduces one's visual field. Which inevitably is true, although there are different types of bioptic where this is not an issue. But commonly, the type of bioptic that is used for driving is as I described. But again, I emphasize the amount of time one is using the bioptic during driving, you know, should be very limited. I mean, something like 5% of the time, because you're only using it to spot that I keep saying that road sign. It may be a traffic cone. It may be a traffic light, or some sort of barrier, of some kind. So you're only using it for a very small time while driving, around about 5% typically. So true, there is a ring scotoma around many types of bioptics, although there are other types which would mean there is no ring scotoma. But you know, that's not really an issue. There are other types of issues that one may encounter when using a bioptic for driving, and I can go on to talk about those if you'd like. But statistically, the evidence shows that people who use a bioptic for driving, for example, research in California has recently shown they are no more likely than several other categories of drivers to be involved in an at-fault accident. That is to say, an accident that is caused by the bioptic driver, and they are no more likely to be at fault in an accident than several other categories of people who drive.
Right. That's interesting. So, essentially, we're talking about a system that really is only going to benefit people who can already, essentially, for the most part, drive with glasses, and this the bioptic would just bring something into sharper focus or into detail. Because obviously you mentioned a road cone or a street sign earlier, and obviously you would need to have sufficient vision with your existing spectacles to be able to see that artifact was there in order to be able to train the bioptic on that item. Am I right?
Well, I'm conscious that we're talking to a very wide audience, you know, probably internationally. Now, it's important to recognize that each state within the United States and each country around the world has their own regulations and laws and policies concerning who may drive and who may not drive with the use of a bioptic. Some states in the United States have a very relaxed view. Some states are more stringent, and I should emphasize I'm not an optometrist, and anybody thinking about using a bioptic for driving should go and see a qualified and experienced low vision optometrist who has specific experience of prescribing and fitting a bioptic. There, they'll have a thorough consultation and examination about all aspects of their vision, and it may take several hours. I mean, I had mine earlier this year. It took 4 or 5 hours. It was very, very thorough. And only then can one determine, okay, you know, for this individual, a bioptic is going to make a difference, and for another individual, perhaps it would not. I'm trying in my discussion with you, Dave, to keep it as simple as possible, but it is actually quite a complicated science.
Where did this science come from, and who really invented the bioptic? What are its origins?
That's an interesting question. The term bioptic was originally invented and coined by a Dr. William Feinblum. He was an OD based in New York, and he started a business called Designs for Vision, which is still in New York today, and his son is president of that business. Now, it was back in the 50s, I believe, that Dr. William Feinblum, first thought of this idea of placing a miniature telescope into a pair of regular glasses to enable somebody to overcome reduced visual acuity. And it was Dr. Feinblum who originally developed the first commercially available bioptic product. So that's like 50 years or so ago now. And of course, today there are many other manufacturers who are producing the same product, but it was he who invented the term and the first product.
Okay, and let's talk about the construction of the device. Is this something that you would obviously have manufactured for you personally on a prescription basis? Would you require your same lens that you've been prescribed for your glasses to be involved in the process? Obviously that you're not going to want to wear the biotics 24/7 while you're eating your breakfast, although you may do. So what sorts of other applications are there?
Well, I mean, again, I'm not an optometrist, so I'm not sure to what extent I'm qualified to answer this, but I'll give you the best and simplest explanation that I can. First of all, to your question about the prescription of one's lens in the regular glasses, that really depends on, you know, a consultation with one's own optometrist, and you really need an expert who's familiar with fitting and prescribing bioptics. For some people, if we talk about driving, it would mean a different prescription to the prescription that one may use, for example, for reading. So it's not possible to give one universal answer on that. With regard to the bioptic itself, actually the latest designs from many of the manufacturers are cosmetically really quite discreet, and increasingly people are wearing them 24/7 because they do have a variety of applications. There is even one that auto focuses. That is to say, if you move your head from looking, you know, 25 feet ahead to looking, say, 3 feet ahead or less, the device automatically refocuses itself, and so you're able to see within, you know, a second or possibly less the object that you're wanting to look at. As I say, some of these are cosmetically very appealing, so more and more people are finding it acceptable to wear a bioptic 24/7 for a whole range of purposes.
We've talked about driving. What are the other obvious applications?
Well, it's good that you asked this question because, of course, there'll always be some people who won't be able to drive because their basic residual vision is simply not good enough. There are a variety of other applications, you know, that one may use a bioptic, just the same as there are for wearing ordinary glasses or spectacles. I'll give you just a couple of examples that I use a bioptic for in the United Kingdom, though. There are in our railway stations monitors that are generally suspended from the ceiling or something, which show the destination of a train, the time the train is leaving, the platform it's leaving from. Now, some of these monitors are placed so high that it can be quite difficult to read them. With a bioptic, it's no problem. You just glance, you get the information you want, you go on your way. Another application, I was walking around London the other day trying to find, I was a little bit lost in this part of London, I was trying to find my directions. I wanted to see the road sign, which is placed very high up on a building on the opposite side of the road. With my visual acuity, I wasn't able to see it. Through the bioptic, it was no problem.
When did you first get your hands on a bioptic? When did you get to try it for yourself, and what was that experience like? Can you describe that for us?
Yeah, I mean, for me, the first time I found and had a bioptic was, I guess, 98, 99 in the United States, in Kentucky, actually. It was really just a life-changing experience. I mean, to look through a bioptic and be able to see the things that I'd never been able to see before, I mean, I just thought, wow, you know, other people can see all this. You know, it was just incredible to me. And, of course, you know, following that, being able to drive with a bioptic in the States, you know, it really transforms your life. Kentucky is, as some of your listeners may know, is a state where public transport is limited if you're not living in a big city like Lexington. So if you can't drive, it's life is very difficult, and therefore the freedom that I had, the independence that I had, it really is life transforming. And the same applies to people in the UK and Europe and Australia and other countries too. You know, if you have to be dependent on somebody taking you places, because there isn't any public transport in particular in a given location, you know, it really is is, it's a pain. So to get your independence, it makes a world of difference to everything from forming relationships to, improved job prospects and so on.
So you found using bioptics was almost a liberating experience. Can you tell us a little bit more detail the first moment when you got to try a bioptic and what your first impressions were and how your perception of bioptics has changed, if at all?
Well, originally when I first saw the bioptic, I thought, this looks strange. What's this going to be like? But, all of that apprehension completely disappeared when I actually put the glasses on. I wish I could, through this medium show you some pictures. Cosmetically, it's really very discreet. And when I first put it on, as I said earlier, to be able to see all the things that I previously hadn't been able to see, it just made me think, wow, everybody else is able to see, normally sighted people are able to see all this that I was missing out on. It really was, it was like, I don't know, I guess it was like somebody, being reborn in a sense.
That's quite exciting. So when you returned to the UK, you mentioned you worked out in the US for a while, and so you became a bioptic user, I suppose. And did you? How long before you began to use this for driving? Presumably there was some training involved in that. And then from that, then let's talk about the differences in the legal differences in driving and using bioptics for driving in various nations.
Well, let me see. In the United States, I was required to undertake a driver training program, and that's prerequisite in many of the states that allow bioptics. It's about 38 of the American states now that allow bioptics, and the trend is increasing. The most recent state to join the club, so to speak, is Louisiana, and earlier last year it was Oregon. Driver training, specifically for the use of a bioptic, tilting your head to glance through the bioptic intermittently, is very important. Some states don't offer that. You have to go privately to get it and pay for it. The legal situation varies around the world. Now, it's important to say that in the United Kingdom, there is currently no policy regarding the use of bioptics for driving. It is only a policy question, not a legal question, because the only relevant legislation is the Road Traffic Act, and that simply says that the Secretary of State for Transport has the right to decide who may drive. It's a policy question. Now, the British Driver and Vehicle Licensing Agency have referred the question of using bioptics to their European masters, if you like, who are currently looking at this question to determine whether they feel any further research needs to be done in Europe to complement that's already been done around the world. Or whether they should simply go ahead and form a policy straight away, which is positive about using a bioptic. But I should say at this time there is no policy in the UK or in Europe either preventing or allowing the use of bioptics. And importantly, I should add that if one is not fully honest with one's insurance company about one's vision condition, there could be a real issue if one is driving, found in an accident to have insufficient vision, because the insurance company wouldn't want to pay out.
No, I can imagine. So, is there a strong community of bioptic users around the world, and do they lobby entities like the DVLA or the as you put it, the European masters for a change in policy to allow this, or at least to evaluate this, and then
Yeah, I mean, there is a community of people around the world, notably in the United States, but South Africa, parts of Canada, and so on. People who are driving safely and successfully with a bioptic. Those people do feel generally some significant sense of pride and caution and self-awareness about their driving. They realize it's not a trivial subject, and so, you know, we found that in various online communities that there was interest in finding out more about this subject, the latest products, and in particular helping other people who don't know about this or who are currently, for whatever reason, not able to drive with a bioptic, perhaps because they haven't heard about it, or their particular state or location doesn't allow bioptics and so on. We wanted to try and sort of make this a more formal way of people coming together to work for this cause. So that's really why Bioptic Driving Network was formed about 3 years ago.
We're talking with Simon Phillips of the Bioptic Driving Network, and you're listening to ACB Radio's Main Menu, heard weekly on ACB Radio Mainstream. Simon, how did the Bioptic Driving Network begin, and were you there since the start?
Yeah, I have been there since the start. It actually began when me and an American lady who had moved to England decided that we should try and raise awareness in the UK about bioptics. I'd returned to the UK to live from my being based in Kentucky, and the two of us decided to set up a Yahoo group, a Yahoo community, to raise awareness and to get other people involved. As I was telling you earlier, that Yahoo community quickly grew with international participation, and particularly with optometrists and other researchers and people with a vision impairment around the world. We decided as a group to form Bioptic Driving Network, which was incorporated in the United States as a not-for-profit organization in 2002. And now our website has a fairly huge number of hits from around the world, bioopticdriving.org or bioopticdriving.org.uk. We also have a web board there which enables people to ask questions and to communicate privately with each other about this subject.
Okay. And can you describe the purpose of the Bioptic Driving Network? How many members does it have? What are the goals of the BDN? What's your purpose for being? Where do you intend to be in 5-10 years from now? What's the function of the BDN? Are you focused just on driving? Obviously, driving's there in the name, but somebody generally interested in bioptics, where should they start?
I guess we're probably the best place for somebody generally interested in bioptics. I don't know of any other organization that's as interested and specifically focused on this subject as we are. I mean, there is the American Academy of Optometry and so on, the AOA, AAO and so on, and other professional bodies for optometrists and ophthalmologists and other researchers and academics who are interested in the subject of assistive technology and low vision aids and so on. But if you're particularly interested in the use of bioptics, then Bioptic Driving Network is the organization to get in touch with and to be involved with. Although we are primarily concerned with advancing the research, the technology, the information available to people about bioptics internationally. We have branches in six countries around the world: the US, Canada, Germany, the Netherlands, Australia, the UK, as well as other countries that are starting to show interest, like South Africa and so on. We really, in the next 5 to 10 years, would like to grow and develop branches in other countries, and to make more people aware that even if they're not going to be able to drive with a bioptic, it's a very useful low vision aid that can be used for a variety of tasks, as I was describing earlier. So why not? I mean, cosmetically, the latest bioptics are really very discreet and hardly noticeable, and if it can improve your vision as much as your visual acuity as much as it has done my own, then it really can be life-changing. I would also add that in the next 5 years for sure, there is going to be a new generation of bioptics that in fact may not even be called bioptics, which will be completely unnoticeable to the normal glance when one is wearing it. That's a development which is currently being researched and developed again by Dr. Ellie Pelly at Harvard University, as well as some others around the world who are developing new products. So the future is very, very positive, and I'm sure the take-up among people with a vision impairment or with a low vision condition is only going to go on increasing because, as I say, it really is life-changing.
Now, I understand later this month in London, you are involved with a conference regarding bioptics. What's the purpose of the conference? Is this the first conference of its kind? And tell us who will be speaking and why would people want to go?
Yeah, this is the first conference of Bioptic Driving Network. There was an organization many years ago in the United States called American Bioptics Certified Drivers, which kind of died out, I think, about 20 years or so ago. They held a conference in New York. This is the first conference of Bioptic Driving Network and the first one in the world for many, many years. It's being held in London, June the 18th to the 20th at Chelsea Village Hotels. It's very convenient to get to by public transport for those people who can't drive. We have around about 30 or more speakers coming from around the world. These are the most expert people in optometry and ophthalmology from around the world, specifically experienced with prescribing and fitting bioptics, as well as some others who are actually bioptic drivers. For example, we have a lady by the name of Susan Byerly, who's actually Scottish, who went to live in Ohio in the United States. She discovered bioptics there and how they may be used to drive. It changed her life, as it did mine, when she became a bioptic driver. And she's going to be speaking at a conference in London too. So the conference is a good opportunity, really, for researchers and optometrists and so on, to find out about what is the latest thinking and the best practice with regard to the use of bioptics for driving. But more than that, it's an opportunity for people with a vision impairment to come along and talk to an expert and say, well, hey, what about me? Does this work for me? Is this going to be something that I may be able to use to drive or to improve my everyday life? So I'd encourage everybody to come. If people would like more information, they can get it from our website, www.bioptic-driving.org.uk. As a matter of fact, if people would like to come, we'd urge them to do that as soon as possible, because the number of places available is now fairly few.
Okay. Other than eminent speakers from around the world, will there be any other events taking place alongside the conference? Are there bioptics workshops at all, or opportunities for people to interact with the experts on a one-on-one level?
Yep, there will be workshops and there will be opportunity for people to interact on a one-on-one level. That's why I say it's a great opportunity for people to come along and speak to an expert and say, well, hey, does this work for me? Let's talk about my vision, my condition, and will this work for me? Is it something that I'm going to be able to do? So it really is a great opportunity. Now, inevitably, somebody's not going to be able to get an eye examination there in London. That's not what our conference is about. But certainly some indication information, some guidance on whether or not it's feasible for people, that will be possible at the conference. There is a lot going on, though. We have somebody speaking about various other aspects of driving, notably driving for people who are either entirely blind or very severely visually impaired and who may never ordinarily drive on the roads, licensed. In other words, off-road driving and various assistive technology that gives them a driving experience. So that should be very interesting. We have several dinners organized as well where people can chat and talk and get to know each other informally to discuss their driving aspiration or their low vision condition and so on. So yeah, there really is something for everybody, and it's a great opportunity to come and meet other people who are in the same situation as you.
Right, and we're exploring the possibility of getting some of those sessions, some of the lectures, I suppose, recorded, and hopefully we can bring some of that to listeners in future weeks. So the conference, should it remind us again of the dates and how people register for that, and of course the filthy question of how much it's likely to cost them.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the date is 18th to 20th of June. It begins at lunchtime, midday on Friday, the 18th of June, all day on Saturday, the 19th, and it finishes at lunchtime on Sunday, the 20th. It's taking place in Chelsea Village Hotels in London. The tube station is Fulham Broadway Tube Station. It's only a two-minute walk from there. The cost for optometrists and ophthalmologists and for other researchers, it's £180.
To register for optometrists and professionals, then it's £180 sterling. It's about $300 US. And for Joe Public.
Yeah, for Joe Public, it's £100. Now, I know that may seem like a lot of money, but we're not making any profit on this at all. We're only covering our costs, and because we are paying for some of the world's most eminent experts to come to London, it's been a very expensive conference to organize. However, here's the real scoop for ACB listeners. We do have a number of people who have paid to attend, but for sickness and various other reasons, they're not able to attend. Now, our policy has always been that we can't make any refund because we have to pay the venue and so on already. So what we're able to do at this time for people who contact us immediately, straight away, is offer a limited number of places. We can't do it free, but we'll offer these places for a modest donation. So really there's no reason why somebody with a vision impairment who's interested in coming to the conference shouldn't be able to come along for a donation of whatever they can afford if they do that right away. Now, somebody interested in taking this opportunity, because the number of these places are very limited, it's only a small number of people who, as I say, have paid and who are not able to come anymore. If somebody's interested in that opportunity, the thing that they need to do is go to our website, www.biopticdriving.org.uk, click on the conference pages. At the top of the page, you'll see a link that says Help Us. If you click on that link, scroll down the page, and there, after telling you our mission and explaining what we're trying to do, there is an opportunity to make a donation. If one makes a donation there of whatever one can afford, what happens is that we then get a record of the person's name, and the person may then come along on the Friday Friday the 18th, Saturday the 19th, Sunday the 20th of June, and attend our conference for whatever they can afford. That's to say, a modest donation. However, I say again, the number of places available is very, very limited, and we will have to remove that facility facility on our website in the coming week or so. So I'd urge everybody who's interested to go ahead and take a look at that straight away.
Well, that's fantastic, Simon. So just to reiterate, industry professionals, the registration is £180 for people interested in attending as a private individual, then that's £100. But as Simon has just said, there are a very limited number of places available if you make a modest donation to the Bioptic Driving Network. So you can find out about that and Bioptics on the website, and we will repeat the website address there at the end. Simon, is there anything we haven't covered? I'm aware we've been talking for about an hour. Is there anything that we haven't covered about Bioptics or the conference that you'd like to add to today's interview?
No, I think we've pretty much covered everything. As I say, I think this is something that is potentially life-changing for some people. I acknowledge that there will always be some people who will simply never drive, perhaps because they are entirely blind or their vision is too severely impaired. But even for those people, as I say, there is an opportunity at the conference to listen to a very interesting speaker by the name of Leon Gilbert, who will be talking about assistive technology and off-road driving experiences. So even people who will never drive have an opportunity to find out about how they can enjoy the pleasure of controlling and handling their own vehicle. No, I think it's been a great interview, and I think we've covered all of the most important points.
And for my own part, with regard to driving, I usually once a year get the chance to get on the back of a motorbike, and that's coming up next week, so I'm pretty much looking forward to that. Well, Simon Phillips of the Bioptic Driving Network, let's bring the interview to a close. Do you want to just repeat your contact details, the website address, and then if people wanted to contact you directly, and also you might want to tell people the address of the Yahoo group where people can join and talk about Bioptics further.
Yeah, sure. I mean, everybody can get more information about the conference and about Bioptic Driving Network by going to www.biopticdrivingnetwork.org or .org.uk when we have a UK website too. With regard to the Yahoo group, that no longer exists because we grew so much that we outgrew Yahoo, and we have some free facilities that are provided by a web hosting company now. So we have a web board community which is like Yahoo but more sophisticated and has more features at the website I just mentioned, www.biopticdriving.org. If you go there, if you click on Ask a Question or if you click on Web Board, you'll find the opportunity there to communicate one-on-one with others concerned with this, to send them emails or communicate with everybody who's interested in this subject. It's a really good online community for talking about bioptic driving.
Simon Phillips from the Bioptic Driving Network. Thanks for your time.
Well, it's time for Main Menu to log off for another week. Thanks very much for your company, and until next time, bye for now.